This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, printed copies of today's service, and our special DVD series, Basic Biblical Truths, will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every week on this station.
Who is your refuge and your strength? In those days when the troubles are great and you know not which way to turn, we're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to continue to listen. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your church. We realize, O God, that it has a great message that has brought life to millions of people. But we also realize that because the human element is found within the church, there is always a time for corruption. There is always a time when we go far away from your word. And so we pray today that you will purge your church of any heresies that deal with the soul salvation of a human being. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to raise up faithful leaders faithful to your word. Hear our prayer that we ask on this Reformation Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. The great spiritual leaders of the past have had one thing in common. They lived, literally lived, in the Scriptures. By that I mean that it was not just a casual reading of the Bible once in a while, but they studied the Scriptures alone and with groups of people. They really knew what the book was talking about and where they could go when they really needed some help for a particular reason. This is very important, especially as far as the leaders are concerned, but also as far as those who sit in the pew and and make no pretense of wanting to be a teacher, but just to immerse your soul in the Word of God. Now, one of these great giants of the faith was a person by the name of Martin Luther. And so it's quite fitting today, because this is Reformation Sunday, that we take a look at his life and see what the Word of God did to it. We're also anxious to take a couple of passages that we know were very, very precious to Luther. He talks about them over and over again. And you know what those favorite passages of Scripture do to us. Even if you're not very well acquainted with your Bible, if there's something wrong in your family, it's quite natural that you turn to the 23rd Psalm. Well, the whole book was pretty well known to Martin Luther, but he had some passages that were very, very special. And the first one is found in the first chapter of Romans, verses 16 and 17. There St. Paul writes, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is a power of God for salvation for everyone who believes." Notice you have to believe. "First it was for the Jew, and then for the Gentile." And then this verse was very important to Martin Luther. "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Martin Luther was in some ways, kind of a strange person. He is described by some of his classmates and peers as being a person with a dynamic personality and a brilliant, brilliant mind. But Luther lived with a terrible guilt complex. It was a guilt complex that finally led him one day to become a monk in the Augustinian monastery, where he was hoping to escape from the temptations of the world. But even when he got inside of the monastery, the devil seemed to go right along with him, and he had all kinds of confessions to make. For example, some of his classmates tell that it was their task to hear one another's confessions and then to pronounce the absolution or the declaration of pardon, whatever you may want to call it. But no one wanted to draw Luther's name, because sometimes his confessions would go up to 3 hours. He would confess every conceivable sin that might have crossed his lips, his mind, or carried him somewhere where he shouldn't have been. So he was tortured. However, he kept on studying the Scriptures. And then one day he came upon these verses that I have read for you. And it is particularly this one, "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last." Now, what Luther was anxious to do was to be a righteous person, to be able to stand before God and hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But he knew he was having a tough time doing it. In fact, he knew it was impossible for him to be that righteous. I hear a lot of people say today, "Oh, I am so terribly unrighteous." And I guess that probably is the same game that Luther was playing. Well, I got to try to clean up my life from this sin and that sin. And it isn't that we should live in the mire of sin, but we're trying to get rid of all these sins, but when we get rid of one of them, another one pops up. Now, St. Paul is saying something different to him. The righteousness that really counts, Luther, it's very personal, is that which you obtain by trusting God. It comes as a result of faith from the beginning to the end. God has sent into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus had suffered and died at the cross of Calvary. He had been raised again. That was the gospel. Now, when you would receive Jesus Christ by faith, then he would take away all of your sins, and you would be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when God sees Luther, God sees you, God sees me, he doesn't see us with our little bits of self-righteousness, things that we pride ourselves in that we have done. But he sees us through the righteousness that Christ has purchased for us at the cross. He sees my sins completely gone, and I stand before him as spotless and clean. And Luther pondered that and pondered it and pondered it some more. Do you mean to tell me that I can be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and it is not my works, nothing that I have done, but what he has done? God's word says, that's right, Martin. And there is your peace. There was a discovery of the gospel. And that's what we need today, friend, in the Church of Jesus Christ. It is a proclamation of the gospel to let people know what God can do when he comes into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, you say, can I then go out and live like the very old devil? And as we have said 100 times on this program, of course not. You won't want to. When you realize what Jesus Christ has done for you, you have fallen in love with him, and you want to live for him. But the righteousness that God sees is the one that we have in Christ Jesus and through faith in him. So that was a glorious message for Luther, because now he knew God in a very personal way. He wasn't a wrathful, vicious God who was out to get him, but a Father who loved him in Jesus Christ. A second psalm that is a portion of Scripture that is very important to Jesus, important to Martin Luther, was the 46th psalm. Luther now knew that because he had understood the gospel, because he knew how a man was made right with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, it was his responsibility to share it with the world. The world must know what Christ has done. And so he went around and talked about this great discovery, and sometimes he pointed out the errors of the church in that particular day. And he said, we've got to help those who are in authority over us to see that they are dealing with the souls of human beings, and they are not in a personal relationship with God, because they are also in their sins if Christ has not taken their sins away. So as he talked and talked and talked about this gospel and about the great teaching of justification by grace through faith in Christ, pretty soon they began to get concerned about Luther, and he got back to his superiors. And so he went through all kinds of theological debates. And you know the incident where he nailed the 95 theses to the castle church door in Wittenberg on October 31st, 1517. And here he states very clearly what the Word of God says and what are some of the problems in the church at the present time. So he was invited to debate these things here, there, and everywhere. But finally, the theological debates became so bad that the climax to it all came when he was asked to come to Worms, and Emperor Charles V of the Roman Empire would be there, and he would be examined by a first-rate theologian from the University of Leipzig by the name of John Eck. And so Luther was brought before them, and they began to talk to him about what he had written. Eck had brought along most of Luther's writings, and he asked Luther, as he pointed to the books, the pile of books, "Are they yours?" And Luther says, "These books are all mine, and I have written a lot more." "Well," Eck said, "do you defend them all, or do you care to reject a part of them?" And Luther turned to him and he said, "I would want to go over them. There may be some things that I have said in there that I would want to change a bit, but could I have some time?" While Eck was not interested in giving him any more time, he felt that he had known about this climax and the meeting there in Worms. Why hadn't you come prepared? But the emperor felt differently, and he said, well, I'll tell you, Luther, what I'll do. I'll give you one day. So Luther went off to his cell, and there he spent some time alone with God. Do you get the picture? He's in a cell. He's alone. He's with God. And on the morrow, he is going to stand before the emperor and before one of the world's greatest theologians of that day. And what did he do? Luther knew where to go when his life was filled with difficulties, and that was to the Word of God, because in that living Word, God was going to speak to him. Now, he had been asked if he would reject some of these things. What should he do as he wrestled with God and waited for a word? And you can well be sure that he heard something like this. Well, he who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. And that terrified him. But then he turned to the 46th Psalm. I'm convinced of this because it's one of his favorite psalms and a favorite portion of Scripture. And what did he hear there? He heard God speaking. And God was saying something like this to him. God is your refuge and strength, Martin. An ever very present help in trouble. So don't be afraid. It could very well be that Luther, being a human being, was terrified. Don't be afraid. I am with you. And that led to another passage of Scripture there in that same psalm. You be still, Martin, and know that I am God. In other words, I am in charge. There's an emperor out there who has political power. There's a theologian out there by the name of Eck who has a lot of influence. But don't forget this. You are not in the hands of an emperor or a theologian. You are in the hands of Almighty God. Be still, Martin, and know that I am God. And so he prayed, and he prayed some more. R.C. Sproul has written in a book that they have the prayer that Luther prayed in that cell before he went up to meet with Emperor Charles and John Eck, what he had prayed to God for strength. I don't have a copy of it, but it would be well to get a hold of it and read just how a man like that prays in a situation like that. But I like to believe that as Luther is opening the door of that cell, ready to move into the presence of the world's greatest and most powerful, God in his word says, as it is recorded in Psalm 46, just remember, my son, I am with you. At 4 o'clock on that day, after the night in the cell, Eck asked him, are you ready, Luther, to recant or to make some changes? And Luther turned to him and said, unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot, and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen. And when that message of what had happened at Worms got to the Pope spoke words like this in a prayer. Oh God, a wild boar has invaded thy vineyard. He was called a wild boar because he had gone contrary to some of the things that were being taught by the church, which were wrong. grace, strength, power, direction, confidence, and an hour when he did not have it by himself, but God gave it to him. Do you ever find yourself in that predicament? And this is where I think we could make something worthwhile out of this great story that we have reviewed again. When you're in a predicament, do you know where to turn? Do you know who can help you? In all phases of life, it may be in your personal life, sickness or death or finance or marriage troubles or whatever they may be. But even in your relationship with God, do you ever wonder, is this all very true? Where do I turn with my religious doubts? Do I go to some philosopher and try to find out from him? Do I go and buy a book and think, well, here must be the answers? Luther's example would be, immerse yourself in the Word of God and see what he is saying to you. Maybe it is not popular to voice your opinions in this day and age, to stand on the Word of God and say that Jesus Christ is our Savior and we must turn to him, to say that we do not need a whole lot of fancy moralizing in our church. We need to hear the gospel. We not only need to hear about some good works that we might do, we need to hear what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Now, to do that sometimes may give you a title, too. They might not call you a wild boar or whatever the feminine part of that is, but they may call you a religious fanatic. And that kind of religion is all over with, they may say. I say to you, friend, keep on voicing it. If you're an evangelical Christian today and speak out clearly on the basis of the Word of God, you will not necessarily win a popularity contest, for our world is not for this. I was asked a few days ago who I was going to vote for, as far as the politicians are concerned. And I said, well, I really don't know, but I like what Billy Graham has said. I turn to those who have the greatest biblical conviction, and they're the ones where I will look for my candidate. Because what we need today is a person whose soul reaches out to God for strength and for comfort. So be still and know that he is God. He hasn't changed. And as he came into Luther's life when he was in a predicament, so he will come into yours. Because he loved that psalm so much, he wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God." Listen to it as it is sung by the California Lutheran Choir. That last verse, which I learned as a kid, "What though they take this life, goods, honor, child, and wife, their hatred still is vain, they have no lasting gain, we still possess the kingdom." Listen to it. Amen.
Oh,
Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given to us this clear gospel, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We thank you that we can live with the assurance that we're yours, that our righteousness is not something that we have done ourselves, but we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Help us to understand, Lord, that when we trust you, then there we stand before you as spotless and clean. And then grant, O God, that out of love for you, we may be anxious to do all kinds of things to bring this gospel to others. So may we all live, knowing that in Christ we are children of the King, that you are our refuge and strength, and a very, very present help in trouble. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing and all others who have need to listen. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. We're also offering a special DVD series of 5 sermons titled Basic Biblical Truths by Reverend Larson for a suggested donation of $10 per program. Send your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.